Throat's a little scratchy this morning. My wife and I have been reading out of Corinthians here recently, and there was a section, if you want to go to Corinthians and you kindly follow through, I'm going to start out with 1 Corinthians 6:19, and it's kind of where I come from on this. It says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you know you're not your own? For you were bought with a price, therefore glory God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's." So if God's in us, and he's, then that means our bodies are God's, which means we are the body of Christ. And that's what my wife and I have been kind of looking at it and started out. But before I get into any more what I got out of that, I'd like to have a word of prayer, if you don't mind. Father in heaven, I ask you that the people not hear what I have to say, but to hear what you have to say. I ask that you pull out your spirit upon each and every one that is here and those that are home and that are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. And I looked at this and given a lot of thought to it, and it may not see right off where it ties into the scripture reading in Isaiah. And there's another scripture reading in Isaiah that I'd like to share before I go too much forward. And that's Isaiah 61:1. And start out there. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, to open the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our Lord, to confront all who mourn, to console those who are mourning in Zion, and to give them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." When I was working, I was a lineman, and I had this title. It was line foreman, cable splicing underground something or another. Its title was huge. And I got pretty good at climbing poles. I worked for a utility company, electric company, and I climb poles, and I got pretty good. Actually, most of the people that I knew, there was only two other people that I would compare myself as well on the pole that I was. But I didn't get that way naturally. I worked at it. But even working at it, some of the other people worked at it too, and they didn't quite come up to where I was at. But it's something I enjoyed. But the thing of it is, I got to thinking about it. I couldn't do that, and I couldn't be as good as what I was, if the people who were digging in the ground and digging up ore, and they dug aluminum up out of the ground, and they dug up steel out of the ground, because what helped me to climb, I had these hooks or gaffs or whatever you want to call it. The shanks on them were made out of aluminum. The hook part was made out of steel. I couldn't climb those poles without that. Also on that, there was leather bounding, and there was nylon straps. I couldn't climb the pole without that. And even if I got those, me climbing the pole was really of no value, unless what I did up there helped to bring electricity to people who needed it. And even then, if they needed it, I couldn't be of any value either unless we had engineers that designed the lines that I was building to get the electricity there. And even without that, I had to have somebody to give me the job, draw up the job and give it to me, so I had to have a boss. And then along with that, I couldn't do it by myself, so I had to have somebody else to help me. And on top of that, it would be of no value if nobody needed it. And if they needed it, it still would be no value unless somebody had the money to pay for it. And then these people had to get the money somewhere to pay for it. And then I wouldn't do it if I wasn't getting paid for. So you say, what does that have to do with the body of Christ? Well, look at a church. What is a church without a deacon? What is a church without a pastor? What is a church without somebody who cares for somebody else? We are all tied together. Every one of us has a part to play in the body of Christ. My understanding, and I may be wrong, you can correct me if I am wrong, but I heard Christian stands for Christ-like. So if we claim to be Christ-like, and the scriptures is right, we are part of the body of Christ, and we come back to the scriptures I just read, these are what Christ come down here to do. So, we can't do it by ourselves. And if we're Christ-like and we're not carrying out, let's see. Let's go to Corinthians. You can look at this up. Corinthians 1:30. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, whom became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. 31. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Well, that's kind of like I was kind of bragging about. I was one of the better linemen, one of the ones who could climb. I was bragging on myself, but I couldn't, you know, why should I brag on myself when I couldn't do that if these other people weren't involved in giving me materials I needed to do it? I thought, well, that's an interesting thought, God. Kelly humbled me a little bit. For no other function, this is going on 1 Corinthians 3, chapter 3, verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Would I be able to do any of this if I wasn't created? Would I have the materials to do what I did if they weren't created? So that goes back and ties everything that I've done clear back to the Creator, Christ. So what right do I have to brag about anything that I've done with the stuff that has been given to me, which I didn't create anyway? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that and the Spirit of God dwells in you? 17. If anyone defiles the temple, God will destroy him, for the temple you are. You could take that several ways. If somebody hurts me, then God's going to destroy them. But on the other hand, if I hurt one of you, who are the temple of God, are the body of God. Temple means dwelling place. A dwelling place is the same thing as where something dwells in. And if I'm the body of God, that's where God dwells in. That means the temple, the body and the temple are synonymous in a lot of ways. So if I hurt one of you, and God's dwelling in you, who am I hurting? If you died of yourself, who am I hurting? You're not there anymore. It's Jesus Christ. So how should I treat you? And why should I consider myself better than you? Because I have a higher title than what you do, or what I consider a higher title or a higher position or a more important thing in humanity. And as I talked about in my job of bringing electricity to a hospital or to a funeral or, any type of business, and I was just a part of getting that electricity to that place, just a part of it. Why should I brag or feel more important than any of these other people that were involved in getting that electricity to that place where it was needed? And we, looking at that from the time, sure, I'm going to cut this short. The time, we as the body of Christ, we're all part of the body of Christ. None of us is more important than the other. But every one of us is important, because you take one part out of that. You take the engineers out of the part of getting electricity to somebody, you have a problem. You take the ones that made the hooks that I wore to get up there, you have a problem. If you take the money out of it, you have a problem. If you take the customer out of it, you have a problem. One part out of the whole system, and the body is a system, one part out of that, then it disrupts the harmony of what that system is designed to do. And so what have we been designed to do? We've been designed to work together, to be a part of that body of Christ. I already shared what Christ come down here to do. It takes all of us to do that. All of us. And if we start criticizing another part of that body is part of Christ. So take in consideration, if we have criticizing one part, that we got a problem. Also take in consideration, if one part doesn't do its job, what's going to happen to the body? Is the body going to be able to do what it's supposed to do? And each one of you are a part of the body of Christ. If you say you're a Christian and you don't know what to do, do what Christ come down here to do. Just read it out of Isaiah. There's a lot of other places that it says that. All of us have a part to be, and we're all, if we're Christians, we are all an ambassador of Christ. And go to the scriptures on that. Read Isaiah. And go in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. It talks about the body of Christ. It talks about we're all part of the same. God has given us the abilities to do that. I had the ability to do what I did. I didn't get that ability on my own. God created me for to be a certain part of the body. And so since he gave me the created me to be a certain part of the body, he also gave me an ability of what that part is supposed to be doing. The eye cannot walk. The ear can't do what the hand's supposed to do. The heart can't do what the stomach's supposed to do. We all have a different part. We are all a different part of the same body, same spirit, same creator. You can find that in Ephesians chapter 4. I'll go with, in Ephesians 4:4, it talks about we're all one body, one spirit, one hope through Christ. In Ephesians 4:11, it says, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And what? And in verse 12, it says, for what purpose? For equipping the saints for the work of ministry, not self-fulfillment, but for ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come to unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to perfect and to the measure of the status of the fullness of Christ. He give us the gifts of the Spirit. We've all read that. Some of you wonder what your gift is. Well, what do you feel comfortable doing? I did not feel comfortable being an engineer. I did not feel comfortable at digging dirt out of the ground so they can get the iron which I needed. I didn't feel comfortable being a mechanic, which I needed a good mechanic to keep the truck that I was driving to get me to where I was going and to carry the material where I was going. Needed all these other things, but what I was comfortable at was being a lineman. What's your gift? What did God create you to be? How do you know? There's a lot of people talk about finding out what your gifts and stuff. Well, if you get to know Christ, he'll let you know what that is. If you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you'll have a peace in your heart that the world doesn't know. You'll feel comfortable. When a horse is given a job to do what it was designed to do, it's usually pretty happy. When a dog's given a job to do what it's designed to do, he's pretty happy. A guard dog is not happy hunting. A guard dog's not happy being in a lap, but a lap dog's happy being in a lap. So if you're not happy, maybe you're not using the gift that God gave you. If you don't have that inner peace. When you are doing that job, let me tell you a little bit about my job. I worked in storms. People run in to knock poles down, and I had to go out all hours of the day and night to put poles back up. All kinds of weather. Weather'd come up and knock down. It wasn't always pleasant to do the job that I had to do. Look at the apostles. Was it always a pleasure for the apostles to do the job that they did? Was it always convenient for them? Was it always pleasurable for Christ to do what he did? And if you tell me it was a pleasure for him going to the cross, I would beg to differ with you. And we're asked to pick up our cross and follow Christ. It's not always a pleasure to do what we've been asked to do. It's not always a pleasure what we've been made to do. But the inner peace, even in those hard times, that inner peace, you'll receive that inner peace if you're doing what God created you to do. You'll feel a sense of fulfillment if you're doing what God created you to do. If you don't have a sense of fulfillment and you don't have inner peace, then maybe you should ask God what it is in your life that's missing. And the Bible is pretty clear on that. He says, I will give you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will give you peace and fulfillment. So if you don't have it, maybe you don't have the Holy Spirit. And if don't have the Holy Spirit, then can you be part of the body of Christ? Because Christ was filled with the Spirit. Everything he did here on the earth, he did as a human being, and he did it through prayer and stuff. I had a whole list of stuff here I was going to go through. I'm not going through all of it. Why don't we go to John 14? As being part of the body of Christ, and if Christ is in you, what he came down here to do will be what you will be doing. Because you are an ambassador, you will represent him in all your actions and all the things that you do. And you will be doing what Christ came down here to do. Would you turn to John 14:12? Now, this is Christ speaking to us. If you are a Christian, if you are part of his body, this is what Christ Jesus himself is saying to you. John 14:12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do. Also, the greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. We got three things that's going on, different groups that are some supposed to be for going out and searching for the lost and helping other people. We have another ministry called the Prayer Quilt. That's a ministry that's helping others. If we're not edifying somebody else, if we're not putting forth an effort to help somebody else, how can we call ourselves Christ-like? Just a question. Can we really call ourselves Christ-like if we are not trying to help our fellow brother and sister? If we are criticizing our brothers and sisters, can we really call ourselves Christ-like? If we are not doing what Christ come down here to do, can we really call ourselves Christ-like? There are many jobs that many, many different positions, many different parts of the body. They're all necessary. Some of them we do not see the workings of. As the body, we see the workings of the hands, the feet, the mouth. We see those workings, but we don't see the workings of the heart and the gut and other things. We don't see the inner workings of the eye, the inner workings of the ear. Christianity is about being like Christ. What are the workings of Christ? go judge yourself and make that decision for yourself. If your life is a part of the body of Christ, if your works are part of the works of Christ, if your heart is in the same place that Christ, where he was willing to die so that you could be saved, so other people could be saved, are we really seriously part of the body of Christ? And I say yes. I say that there's a lot of people who are. We've got great musicians in here which glorify God. That's a gift that they've been given from God. We got deacons that keep this church up. We got people who cook meals and serve meals. They prepare the place where we eat at. They clean up the place after we've eaten. And there are people here that make quite a few different dishes to bring in, so that people who don't bring any dishes will have something to eat. We got teachers. We got a school. We got a radio station. We got a thrift store. All of these are part of the body of Christ. What part are you playing in the body of Christ? I want to close with a prayer. Father, I'm up here. I can't tell anybody what to do. I can only share with you with what you shared with me, no more, no less. And you showed me that I am just one part of the whole. Christ is the head. He has sent the Holy Spirit, and he has not left us without the power and the ability and that we need to carry out what he has designed us to do. And he has also given us an inner peace and a fulfillment and a wholeness in of our life when we do what he has asked us to do. But he has never guaranteed that it would be an easy thing to do. He's never said it would be always easy and always smooth. And he's shown that in his own life. When he was here living as an example for us, he showed us that this enemy does not want us to care for each other. The enemy does not want us to edify others. The enemy wants us to edify ourselves and no one else. Please send thy spirit with a powerful way, with clarity and understanding of what our purpose is here on this earth at this time, in Jesus' name.
Stand with us now as we sing our closing hymn, number 573. I will go where you want me to go.
didn't choose that song, but I think it was quite fitting. And I didn't choose the scripture that Jeff brought up, which is Hebrews 12:14. And this is what I'm going to do closing and bow our heads.